This is Front Row on BBC Radio 4. We move on to a powerful but largely invisible television talent who since the late 90s has been making late nights much funnier, although possibly not if you were due to go into hospital next day.
Sorry, Adam, your husband has now just been pronounced officially dead.
Good. Could you pass me another tissue, please? To cry with.
And me humping the ground.
Possibly. Grace, would you bring me a peppermint tea, please? And shave.
Moments from three dark and daring TV comedies, the sketch show Smack the Pony, the hospital comedy Green Wing, and finally Campus, about to start on Channel 4, which is set in a British red brick university where the Vice-Chancellor is forced by funding cuts to reduce drastically the numbers of staff and students. All three shows are the work of Victoria Pyle, who leads the teams of writers, then produces and directs the scripts. After the first public screening of Campus, she explained why she'd gone for comedy to college.
It's a great kind of arena for displaying lots of different characters. You get a hierarchy, just like you did in a hospital or any work institution. You get routine, you get stuff that people equate to on a daily basis. Thickos and clever people, you get caterers and you get poets. So it's a really good landscape.
Most people have some connection with hospitals or universities, even if they haven't been in either of them themselves. They know someone who has.
Absolutely. I mean, that's sort of the point, that it's the most generic you can get, and that's what the appeal is. I mean, it wasn't quite like, oh, we've done hospital, now let's do it at the university. These arenas had kind of been knocking around on my laptop for a while. Greenwing might well have been a university. It's a bit of a cheat to say it's an educational environment, because we're very minor. It's very much a backdrop and not our foreground.
But as you suggest there, the other thing that both hospitals and universities give you in a British context is that they tap into other things that are going on. I mean, specifically cuts and priorities. So in both of them, you've been able to deal with that.
The thing that I remember best from an education world was a very peculiar practice. And that was all the same thing, battling, the sort of rising commercialism in the face of government cuts, wasn't it?
With a mad vice-chancellor.
I mean, we weren't aping it at all, but it's kind of perennial, isn't it? And those issues are going to be pertinent, really, certainly at this point in time.
The other thing that they both give you those settings is that you get all the generations. So, I mean, races, generations. I mean, so the casting is very broad.
Melting pot. You get the whole thing, and that's kind of the appeal. And I always go in with a great yearning to touch all those classes, characteristics, races, but you end up with such a limited pot in the end because of time constraints. We do kind of discard quite a few characters as we go through, which is it's a shame, really.
The big difference from Very Peculiar Practice is Andrew Davis wrote all of every episode, yes, of each series, and there seem to be seven or eight writers
there
listed
on
them.
Seven of us, indeed, and it is a team that's sort of evolved way back with Smack the Pony, and it's very much a team show. This is not me wielding any great authorship. I mean, I initially do come up with the premise and a series of archetypes, and they are very much archetypes to begin with, and try as early as possible to attach actors, and that's then when this team effort comes into force, really, because we kind of grow our characters around our actors. That doesn't sound too bizarre. So we cast according to the archetype, the stereotype. Then we get to know our actor, and the actor gets to know the character we have in mind. And then we build material that is a little bit them, a little bit us, a little bit them, a little bit us.
People who come from the BBC, as you probably know, are always incredibly envious of people who do comedy for Channel 4, because at the BBC they have all this compliance and committees that say you can't say that and guidelines. It sometimes looks as if there aren't any at Channel 4, but is that the case?
We'll find out, won't we? I think there are. They have guidelines, and yes, we have the freedom to do what we like, but there are certain hurdles that have to be jumped. You have to defend what you do, and you have to actually be able to articulate it.
Now, you do some daring stuff. There was at one point the Mad Vice Chancellor says on the phone, is WOG all right, as a word?
That's probably our most controversial. Yeah. But, in context, you have to be able to attribute your audience with some sense of intelligence, and we are not asking them to mistake our actor's behaviour to be the voice of the programme maker or something we're condoning. You know, we're setting him out as a bizarre, unique, pompous, obsessed, character, and we're calling him on that very often. He's there as a comedy grotesque, and hopefully no one will confuse that with reality. No one would get away with what he does. No. It's a comedy extreme.
Chris Addison said that you have to have a sense of a line. Even if you're crossing it, you need to know there is a line.
Yeah.
But do you would agree with that?
I would agree with that, but I'm not sure you always know where it is. And I often find myself, more recently actually, questioning whether something's funny rather than whether it's allowable. You know, I think it's all about context, and it's what's happening at the time and who it's going on with. I think it's harder once you start analysing it, and once you start saying, well, that I would never do that and I'd never do that. I think there are taboos, we all have internal taboos, but I think you find out when the time comes as to what they are.
And it's true, both in Green Wing and this, you do have characters who in inverted commas are mad. I mean, people would say,
I don't think they're mad. I think they're extensions of, you know, I feel very strongly that most of the stuff we do actually is rooted in true life and true behaviour, and I think that is what the appeal is for me, that it is recognition, universal behaviour, universal truths that we all identify with. You show them being extreme. You might show somebody sticking a pin in an effigy and because they're jealous. We wouldn't do that, but we understand the emotion, we recognise the emotion, and maybe you can laugh at it more because it's something you wouldn't dare do.
But it's savage exaggeration, isn't it? Because, I mean, I've worked for a lot of people who are like the Vice-Chancellor in this, and I recognise them, but on the other hand, there are scenes when he goes up onto the roof of the campus with a megaphone and starts sacking people, and based on what coloured circle they're standing on now, we know that wouldn't happen, but we recognise the kind of person who would do that if they could.
And I think that's the point. It's rooted in something we recognise, and then we push it to hopefully to the point where it's funny, and it's just shining a light on the stuff that we all do, and maybe we'd all like to do sometimes what our inner maniac might get up to.
And reviews and tweets and blogs now, do you read all those?
I try very hard not to. I really, really prefer to have done the show and then move on to something else. And when somebody comes back with something horrible, you go, how dare they? How hard he works. You know, and oh, how lovely. Your confidence goes up when somebody writes something nice, and you do die a death when they don't. But I try very hard not to worry about it. I'm not a great kind of positive thinker anyway. I see the bad side of things. So, I'm not a great person to have around, actually. You know, I'd rather just disappear. I'd rather do that and hand it in, you know, and run away.
That thing that comedians always complain about, that in their everyday life, when they're at the school gates or dinner parties, people say, go on, make me laugh. Does that happen to you? Because you're known to work on these things.
No, I think people just take one look at me and know I'm sort of miserable, you know, reclusive, and they don't bother me like that. No, my kids do a little bit, but no one else.
Well, they expect you to be funny.
I think they expect there to be some lunacy in our domestic situation, which they get, quite frankly, yeah.
Victoria Pyle, Campus starts on Channel 4 on Tuesday, April 5th at 10 p.m.